The annual meeting of the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs opened today in Vienna, Austria. A growing number of nations are criticizing the dominant international drug control paradigm, which is based on prohibition of some drugs, and are calling for a wide range of reforms. Several nations in this hemisphere, including Mexico, Guatemala, Uruguay, Bolivia, and Colombia, are leading the reform effort. They argue that over-reliance on law enforcement and criminal justice strategies has backfired, and that nations need to put more emphasis on prevention and treatment alternatives. Here's Miguel Ruiz Cabañas, Undersecretary for Multilateral Affairs and Human Rights at the Secretariat of Foreign Affairs of Mexico. This audio is courtesy of the United Nations, which also provides simultaneous interpretation into English.
In April 2016, at the special session, the President of Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto, affirmed that the system based essentially on prohibition, the so-called war against drugs, which started in the 1970s, has not managed to reduce production, trafficking, or consumption of drugs in the world. Almost 1 year later, we are saying here that we still believe that this commission should accept the new paradigm shift agreed in UNGAS 2016 and provide a more realistic approach to the principle of common and shared responsibility and international cooperation, a focus on people, which acknowledges that the world drug problem should be tackled from a public health point of view, from that of prevention, human rights, justice, and sustainable development. We cannot do anything except acknowledge the role of transnational organized crime here. And we cannot respond to new expressions of the problem with the same decades-old vision and pretend that we will get better results when, despite all our efforts, the world consumption of drugs has not fallen and the age at which people begin is now younger. Organized crime has increased its earnings and extended its activities to money laundering, weapons trafficking, extortion, and people trafficking. Illicit crops of cannabis, poppies, and coca have spread all over the world.
Estatales y nacional.
A growing number of local, state, and national governments have approved legislation to regulate the use of cannabis for medical and scientific purposes, and in some cases for recreational purposes, whilst others have done so de facto. Moreover, hundreds of new psychoactive substances are circulating without control, causing more damaging effects on health than those drugs for which the international control system was designed. As was agreed at UNGAS, we should strengthen those measures which have worked and call on flexibility of the international conventions to change those which have not produced results. Madam Chair, the outcome document of UNGAS 2016 represents the most advanced multilateral consensus in the field of drugs policy and updates the terms of the international debate towards the review of the 2019 Plan of Action. Mexico, therefore, welcomes the UN's efforts to support countries in the implementation of national level. The government of Mexico has organized a series of thematic debates based on the seven areas of the UNGAS document to review international experiences, alternative trends, and lessons learned, accompanied by a regional body, the Inter-American Commission Against Drug Abuse of the Organization of American States. So we want to include all subjects and all relevant stakeholders, and therefore we have promoted a plural dialogue, one which is action-based with the participation of governmental experts, representatives of civil society, international organizations, and other relevant sectors, as well as legislators. With the evidence we have seen in these debates, it is now clear that the prohibition approach based on penalties will never be enough. We have learned What is more, that the effectiveness of drug policies should be measured by the impact they have on people's lives, on social inclusion, and possibilities of achieving sustainable development. The World Drug Strategy cannot ignore the new way of working within the United Nations in favor of sustainable development, breaking with thematic competencies to generate intersectoral multidimensional strategies. We therefore recognize that in the most recent drugs report of UNODC has included the opportunity to align the efforts of the CND with the Agenda 2030. We also see that in the annual report of the INCB, there is a whole chapter on an issue as relevant as women and drug policies. Last week at the Statistics Commission in New York, they discussed existing challenges for drug statistics based on the report and roadmap developed jointly by the National Institute for Statistics and Geography of Mexico and UNODC, recommending that the CND consider this report soon. This is an example of the possibilities for cooperation between two different UN bodies who both have very important mandates, but who can use their specialized areas to encourage a more comprehensive debate and more human approaches. Based on these considerations, please allow me to share 10 points of Mexico's view with the road ahead. One, consolidate the roadmap traced by the results of UNGAS 2016 based on the 7 thematic areas to have an open, substantive and plural debate up to 2019. Two, advance in the design of instruments at national and regional level of the recommendations of UNGAS. Three, promote dialogue on innovative experiences and measures used by countries, adapting their realities and contexts with the flexibility provided by international conventions. Four, encourage scientific research to clearly determine the need to control new substances and reclassify others of proven medical, industrial and scientific use. Five, foster the compilation and analysis of data for better monitoring and design of new indicators on the effectiveness of drug policies. Six, request UN agencies such as INCB, UNODC, WHO, UNDP and UN Women, among others, to raise the profile of progress made in UNGAS, including innovative subjects or areas of opportunity. Seven, ensure that international and regional organizations encourage dialogue and contributions from other stakeholders, including civil society, academia, and legislators and politicians. Eight, align international drug policy with efforts to achieve the Sustainable Development Agenda 2030, and nine, to introduce coordinated actions for comprehensive prevention, not just consumption, but all the negative consequences of the illicit drugs market, and 10, promote the gender perspective in drug programs, actions, and policies.
That was Miguel Ruiz Cabañas, Undersecretary for Multilateral Affairs and Human Rights at the Secretariat of Foreign Affairs of Mexico, speaking this morning in Vienna, Austria, at the 60th annual session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Harm reduction is a set of practical strategies and ideas aimed at reducing negative consequences associated with drug use. In the past, harm reduction was criticized by the CND. However, in recent years, these programs have been receiving support from several delegations. New Zealand's Associate Health Minister, Member of Parliament Peter Dunn, touted his nation's success with syringe exchange as one example of a successful innovation in drug policy. Dunn and a number of other delegates also stated their opposition to the death penalty in any circumstances, including for drug offenses. Here's a portion of Dunn's presentation.
I have been particularly pleased with developments in recent years to see the shift away from treating drug issues as primarily a law and order responsibility to a health focus. However, I still believe we need to be bolder. I have previously talked about compassion, innovation, and proportion as three fundamental pillars of drug policy, which New Zealand has integrated into its national drug policy. We do not have the perfect set of interventions or approaches in place, but our national drug policy provides a framework for testing and improving over time to meet the aspirations that we have set out. That drug policy also aligns well with the outcome document, because we view drug issues as first and foremost being health issues. And viewing drug policy primarily as a health issue has profound implications. It means establishing and ensuring access to essential medicines, including controlled drugs, while minimising the risk of diversion and misuse. Now, this challenge plays out differently in different countries. For New Zealand, there are growing calls to make cannabis-based products more available for medicinal use on compassionate grounds, despite the fact that the evidence of effectiveness is not yet convincing or substantial. So to strike a balance, we have established a pathway in New Zealand where patients can access cannabis-based products for therapeutic purposes based on efficacy data and clinical judgment. Although there are problems with accessibility of these products due to strict import and export controls, we are working to ensure that well-manufactured cannabis-based products may be able to be imported. Viewing drug policy as a health issue also means ensuring access to quality addiction and harm reduction services. I see opioid substitution therapy and clean needles for people who inject drugs as essential elements of a harm reduction approach. New Zealand has proudly operated its opioid substitution therapy program for more than 40 years now, and our needle exchange program for nearly 40 years. The New Zealand Needle Exchange Program was the first national needle exchange program in the world. But of course, health is more than just the absence or treatment of ill health. Promoting and protecting health, and promoting and protecting and well-being, are parts of our national drug policy's overarching overall goal of minimising drug-related harm. This is important because it recognises the wider social and environmental context for minimising drug-related harm, for building resilience and responding to the reasons why people use drugs. It requires a people-centred approach where a range of government agencies, health, police, correctional services, social services, including housing and others, all work together to respond to individual, family and community needs. Another key focus is getting our legal balance right. In our national drug policy, the New Zealand government has made commitments to review certain aspects of our legal framework for controlling and regulating drugs to identify opportunities for health-based responses. These reviews will cover our expert advisory committee responsible for making drug classification assessments, our framework for personal possession and other low-level offences, and access to controlled drugs for therapeutic purposes. Last year, we sought the views of the New Zealand public on the appropriate regulation of drug utensils. Our view was that the current prohibition on possessing drug utensils was inconsistent with a harm minimisation approach. There was unanimous support for change. Submitters told us that harm reduction should be the top priority. They described the current arrangements as ineffective, with the penalties out of proportion for those for drug possession. They also pointed out that adding barriers to accessing drug utensils effectively increases rather than minimises harm. The views raised by submitters will be taken into account in the legislative review process scheduled to take place over the course of this year and the next year. In the coming months, we will also be looking at the actions in our national drug policy to continue to ensure that we have the balance right.
That again was New Zealand Member of Parliament Peter Dunn speaking in Vienna, Austria, before the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. The CND meeting continues for the rest of the week. For KBOO News, this is Doug McVeigh.